Amen. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I'm like David. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad every time the doors are open. I'm glad every time I get to come and worship. But I'm like Ron. I'll be a little more glad, I think, when I never have to leave that place of worship. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2. In Philippians, the second chapter, verse 10 says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your name, Lord, that you've given us to worship. And Father, we just ask you to help us to recognize you and everything that surrounds us. Father, to recognize you and to be able to call your name in all of our times of stress, anguish, all of our times of happiness and praise, to be able to speak your name at all times. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I titled my message this morning, At the Mention of His Name. How many of you know that when we call on the name of Jesus, things happen? I mean, there's not a possibility that we could call on the name of Jesus and absolutely nothing happening. Because when we call on the name of Jesus, we put the forces of heaven into action. When we call on the name of Jesus, things happen that we can't see, that we can't fathom, but things begin to take place that in our finite minds are impossible. I want to take us to the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. We're all very familiar with this passage of Scripture. In fact, we've heard it preached dozens of times, usually dissing Peter. But there's some deeper truths in this passage. So in verse 14, starting at verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening had come, he was there alone. Now, I want you to notice the first thing that takes place here is that Jesus needed some time to himself. Amen? He needed to get away. Why? Because he needed to pray. Do you find it amazing that the Son of God, God Almighty himself, needed to pray? Ought to tell us we need to pray. Amen? We need to set that time apart whenever we can get it and seek the Father. God, what do you need from me today? One of my prayers every single day is, God, give me divine appointments today. Send me to someone who needs to hear your word. Send me to someone who doesn't know you so that I can tell them of your goodness and grace. I love those divine appointments. But Jesus sent the disciples away. He left the crowds there, but he sent his disciples away. Now picture this. His disciples were kind of like his bodyguards. Did you ever notice that in the Scriptures? They tried to keep people away from him and give him his space. Jesus didn't need him to do that. In fact, he tried to keep the children away from him. Jesus said, no, let the children come to me. But Jesus sent the disciples away and kept the crowds just a little longer as he dispersed them. And then he goes up to the mountain and he begins to pray. So the disciples were doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do. Amen? They were exactly where they were supposed to be. Now let's go on with this just a little bit. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now think about this just for a moment. The disciples were exactly where they were supposed to be. And yet there was a storm come. Do you think Jesus didn't know that storm was coming? He knew that storm was coming. And he tells the disciples, in fact, the disciples probably looked up at the sky and they said, wait a minute, there's a storm coming. But they knew Jesus had directed them to get in the ship and go. I mean, these guys were fishermen, come on. They knew how to tell what was going on in the sky, what was going to go on in the waters. Amen? They weren't stupid. And they might have had a little hesitation there, but they were right in the midst of God's will. They were doing exactly what God told them to do. And yet the storm came. In fact, the storm was pretty bad. Listen to this. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out of fear. Now here's some big, tough fishermen in a storm. Think about this. The boat's rocking. It's going back and forth and up and down. And you know, I don't know how big this boat is, but I've been on some pretty big boats that have been rocking pretty well. Everybody thinks the Navy ships are, you know, nice and smooth, but believe me, they are not. But anyway, you know, when the ship starts rocking and rolling and things get going pretty good and these sailors that are used to being on the water start getting sick, you know, things are getting just a little rough, amen? But in this, these are the disciples. They were fishermen. They were in the boat and the storm came up and they started getting a little fearful. And then they saw Jesus just casually walking on the water. Da, 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 yeah. He's just walking on the water. And they look out and they think, oh no, something is really up here. Here we've got a ghost coming to get us. Now, I don't know about anybody. I don't believe in ghosts except the Holy Ghost. I don't believe there's ghosts out there trying to haunt us. But the disciples did. They thought it was a ghost and they cried out in fear. Well, if they were fearful, they needed some comforting. So what does Jesus do? But straightway, or immediately, Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." So here's Jesus. He's walking in the midst of these stormy seas. Now, if you've ever been in the ocean and you've been in a boat and you've been in waves that, you know, pile up and your boat's down in the trough and you can see nothing but water. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. And all you can see is this wall of water coming at you. And here's Jesus just walking on top of it, going, yep. Hey, guys, it's me. It's me. Relax. I got this. Relax. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Now, here's the part we always hear preached. Peter. Peter, I love Peter. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again because Peter's a lot like me. You know, he's just impetuous and just does things. And who in his right mind would call out, "Well, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you." And I don't know about you, but when I have never desired to get out of the boat in the middle of a storm. We were caught in a typhoon on an LPD, and an LPD is a pretty stable ship in the Navy, and we were caught in a typhoon. And as we were going along, and it started getting worse, we had about 3/4 of the crew that was sick in their racks. They couldn't do anything because this LPD would start rolling, and it'd sit there, and it'd start rolling. And it'd go a little more, and it'd roll, and it'd roll, and you would feel like you're trying to walk like this, and you had one foot on the deck like this, but one foot on the wall like this, you know, and you're walking sideways, and that ship felt like it was never coming back right. But pretty soon, all of a sudden, it started to right itself, and next thing you know, you're walking on the deck. But for some strange reason, it never stopped. It just kept going the other direction. And pretty soon, you were walking on the other wall with your other foot and walking like that. And I never desired to get off the ship. That was the safe place. I never desired to get off of it. But here's Peter. "Well, if it's really you, Lord, tell me come to you." Anybody else find that a little crazy? Now, Peter's crazy, but I ain't that crazy. Jesus simply said one word. Come. Come. Peter, I can just see Peter climbing up the gunwale, climbing over, looking at that water and just going, "Hey, this is pretty cool. I'm walking on top of this water." But all of a sudden, Peter starts realizing, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm in the midst of a storm here. This ain't right. I need back on the boat." And you know, we always hear about Peter getting his eyes off of Jesus. But here's the most important part of this story. Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. Because when Peter started realizing he was walking in the midst of a storm, he cried out, "Jesus!" Anybody else ever been there when you couldn't do anything, but you just yell, "Jesus!" He's got his eyes on you, folks. He had his eyes on Peter. And the word says, immediately, he stretched forth his hand and he took Peter's hand. That's the important part of this. This word immediately in the Greek is euthos, and it's a verb and it means directly. That is at once or soon. He didn't wait to see Peter sinking up to his neck or going down for the third time. And by the way, that's a myth. You know, you don't go down 3 times and then sink. That's a myth. I don't know where it came from, but Jesus didn't wait for that. He had his eyes on Peter, and as soon as Peter called out, Jesus reached out to him and grabbed him by the hand and took him back to the ship. That's the real story there. It wasn't Peter's lack of faith. If you think Peter lacked faith, I want to see you step out of the boat. He didn't lack faith. He might have got his eyes off Jesus for a minute, but he knew who to call to. Amen? And the second he called out, Jesus was already looking. He never took his eyes off Peter. And he immediately grabbed hold of him, and back in the boat they went. You know, we always hear the story about how Peter lacked faith. How about how Jesus had enough faith for both of them? How Jesus always had his eyes on Peter? How Jesus never left him? I mean, can you imagine if Jesus would have stepped back and said, I'm going to wait until you have enough faith, Peter. Then I'll get you out of this mess. Can you imagine that? No. Because Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't do it to us. He doesn't tell us, you know, we got to stay in this mess that we're in, whatever it is, until we get enough faith. He says, call on me. When you call on me, it's as simple as that. I'm going to reach down and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you. Matthew, the 9th chapter, we find that Jesus was on his way to heal, I believe it was a young girl. Verse 18, it says, while he spoke these things, he was talking about how that old or new wine's not put into old wineskins and those kind of things. He was teaching them. And then he says this, while he spoke these things unto them, behold, a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come, lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now picture this. We got a dead girl here. We got a father that's grieving. And he knows that Jesus can heal his daughter, even though the rest of the people know she's not here anymore. And so Jesus gets up and he starts walking with him. Yeah, take me to your daughter. We're gonna go take care of this. Maybe Jesus was rubbing his hands together and saying, oh, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. And he's going along, and all of a sudden, in the midst of all this crowd, a woman starts working her way through the crowd. And I want you to know that this woman was desperate for Jesus. She was desperate enough to not care what the law said. She was desperate enough, even though the law said that they could stone her, because in reality, she was supposed to be going through and yelling, unclean, 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 so nobody would get close to her. But she didn't. She was making her way to Jesus. And in the 18th verse, we'll go to the 19th verse. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She broke all the traditions, all the laws that said she, you know, can't be in proximity of anyone because they would be unclean. Can you imagine what the Pharisees and Sadducees would have said as they brushed up against her? Ah! I'm unclean now! Do we feel that way sometimes when we see folks that are on the streets? Do we see people who are not Christians that way? Jesus didn't. Verse 21, for she said within herself. She said within herself, in other words, she made the decree to herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She had faith. She knew that if she could just get to Jesus, and probably thinking to herself, if I could just get there before anybody recognizes me and kills me, if I can just get there and touch his garment, I'll be made whole. That was her profession of faith within herself. Have you ever thought about that? You know, some people, they look down on professions of faith, but that's what the word says. She said within herself, if I can just get to the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Anybody else recognize that's a profession of faith? That's a profession of faith. And she touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus, he turns around. He says, who touched me? Now, think about this for a moment. He's walking with all these people. They're probably bouncing off of his shoulders like people do in crowds. Lots of people were touching him. But Jesus, he stopped. He says, who touched me? Because that virtue had flowed from him. He knew, he felt the power of God go out and heal this woman. There's a difference between being touched and being touched. Amen? He knew that someone with an agenda, someone with a profession of faith that said, if I can just touch him, he knew that there was someone that had touched him with purpose. And I can just imagine what this woman was thinking. Can you imagine what she must have been thinking about now? I mean, here she is, working her way through the crowds, trying to get to touch Jesus, knowing that she was breaking all kinds of law, knowing that she could be stoned, knowing that, you know, everybody else around her was looking to treat her nasty. Whichever way, whether they were going to stone her or beat her or whatever, but definitely not meaning good for her. And Jesus, he turns around, he sees her, and he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made the whole. Do you see how the faith of this woman, the profession of faith she said within herself, at the mention of the name of Jesus, was made whole? That doesn't get anybody excited. I tell you, man, you guys are hard. Romans 10. Now, here's a scripture that we quote a lot, but the question is, do we really understand this scripture? Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No ifs, no ands, no buts. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Now that's the important part, that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the important part here is confessing and believing that Jesus is Lord. This word Lord here is the word kurios. And it means a supremacy, supreme in authority, that is a controller. Did you hear that? A controller. So when I confess that Jesus is my Lord, that means he now controls me. And when I get to that place, that I can confess this, I'm saved. I'm saved. Somebody get happy. Amen. The problem is we want to confess Jesus as Savior, but we don't want to confess him as Lord. We want to have faith when things are good, but we don't want to have faith in the storm. We'll make the confession as long as we don't have to push through the crowd. Amen? But at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and not just here. What did the scripture say? Of everything in heaven and everything in earth and everything below the earth. I don't think that leaves anything out. It's at the name of Jesus. Question is, have we confessed the name of Jesus? Have we called out the name of Jesus? You know, when things are going bad, for some reason it's human nature to back away instead of calling one of our friends and saying, hey, man, I got a storm brewing here. Can you pray with me? I got a storm brewing here. You know, the doctor's giving me bad news. Can you pray with me? And getting the prayer chain going. You know, some people get too embarrassed, but there's nothing embarrassing about calling out to Jesus. Amen? Is it the mention of his name? No other name. The mention of his name. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's no other way. I don't care what you call it. There's no other way. If you're here this morning or listening online, maybe you've never heard the name of Jesus. Maybe you're not sure. I think I know everybody's face in here. I think we're all saved. But just in case there's one here that has never called upon the name of Jesus and said, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the one that controls me. I want you to be the one that I submit to, the one that I can turn to in my time of need. Maybe the one that's outside the boat and watching those walls of water. Or maybe the one that's trying to push through the crowd. If that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. If we could get the prayer team up here. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Let us introduce you to the name of Jesus. Amen? Let us introduce you to the one who can save, to the one who can heal, to the one who can deliver. If you're here this morning and you're saved, but maybe you're in a storm. You know, sometimes we need our brothers and sisters to bring us to Jesus. Amen? There's people I call when I'm struggling with stuff. I don't ever try to do it alone. I call. First one I call is my wife. Hey, I'm struggling with this. struggling with that. But then there's other people that I can call. This morning I've got one less, but he's praying for me while he's up there. Amen. I'm positive of that. He'll continue to pray for me up there. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling with anything, I don't care whether it's addictions, I don't care whether it's finances, I don't care whether it's health, Jesus is here to touch you. He's here to take you by the hand and get you back in the boat. We don't have to struggle alone. So I just want to invite you up. Find someone to pray with. If everything's good, and I hope it is, I genuinely hope it is with everyone. If everything's good, and you just want to come and pray by yourself, feel free to do that. But if you need a touch this morning, Jesus is here to touch you. Amen.